There are definitely easier assignments and harder assignments when it comes to speaking. And the reasons for that are quite obvious. But I thought I would just touch on a few points which I think are really lessons for life. And, you know, being the oldest person in this room, I have a little bit of experience, and I would like to share it with you this evening. For many years, and I actually still maintain this position when it comes to talking to teachers, to machanchim, machanchis, I always reminisced about a story that took place in my youth and really upset me. My grandmother, Olev HaSholem, had a pressure cooker explode, and it burnt her very, very seriously. And she is already an elderly woman, was laid up in bed for many weeks, months, I don't remember exactly. And I used to hear the following words almost recited like a mantra. Oy, in jene Welt, it sei na so glücklich. In the next world, it's going to be so happy, so wonderful. And I thought to myself as a little kid that that's too far away. And we have to have the benefits, the happiness in this world. We can't just say what's going to be in jene Welt, and that will compensate, that will make up, that will literally justify everything that is wrong. Everything that goes on here. And as I got older, I realized that to live this world in happiness, in sanity, if not for the eternity of life, if not for the fact that this world is like a continuum, it starts here and it goes on forever. If not for that, then life would in fact be too difficult. So maybe for young people, you know, they can't look at that, but for people who recognize the difficulties, the challenges in this world, it's only with the realization that this is a limited experience that we have, and it leads us on to an eternity. It's only with that that we get the strength to be able to persevere, even with great challenge and difficulty. I know that I heard many years ago from my father-in-law, Zichron Livrocha, he said the pshat in the Mizmor the David that we say, Hashem roi lo echso. So David HaMelech says, Shivtecho u'mishantecho heimo yenachamuni. Your shevet, that's your whip, u'mishantecho, that's your mishenes, that's your cane, they are a source of consolation to me. And the question is, a cane can be figuratively, allegorically, a source of comfort, leaning on the cane, holding onto the cane supports me. But the shevet is the whip. The whip is a source of nechoma. And he said, I don't know where he got it from, but he said, imagine a shepherd with flocks of sheep, and they're out grazing on a beautiful day in the pastures, and everything seems fine, the sun is shining, everything is great. And then as the sun starts to wane, starts to set, the day is coming to a close, he has to gather in all of his charges, and he gathers them all in, and he takes an accounting to see he's missing one. One is missing. And he sets out to look for the little shepsula that got away, that's missing. As he, at the same time, this poor little lamb is also getting a little bit nervous because it's starting to get dark, and the night carries with it certain perils for the sheep, and he's crying and he's looking, you know, also for his shepherd. All of a sudden, the shepherd spots him in the distance, and with that whip, he cracks him on the back. And the little lamb says to himself, forgive me, I don't know if they talk to themselves, but he says, my shepherd is with me. He hasn't forgotten me. He's there for me, and he's protecting me. And I think that the import of the shevet being a source of nechoma is only, we're only capable of relating to that when we realize with whom we are dealing. And the reality of life is that there's a Borei Olam. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world, who created us, who continues to create, to maintain, to sustain, and to control everything that happens in the world. And we have to learn in this world to find him, to see him, and even to derive strength from everything that he does for us in our lives. Now, sometimes he's using that shevet, but we have to know that when he uses that shevet, as painful as it may be, as painful as it may seem, as painful as it is in reality, but in his world, with his broader scope, with his cheshbonus, with his infinite knowledge and consideration and chesed and rachamim for everyone in the Bria, then we have to know that he knows what he's doing. He's there for us. He's protecting us. You know, it's very bizarre to say, but some people have found solace in the suffering of the Holocaust by the magnitude of the suffering. Sounds very strange. Because it was so extensive, that helps us to find the Chama. What kind of talk is that? What kind of insanity is that? But in reality, it's not so insane. Because what happens is, when we see the extent of this tragedy that took place 70, 75 years ago, then we know this can't be a mikra. This is not an accident. No way in all of history, no way in the laws of nature could such a thing ever have taken place. It had to be a gzeira. And if it was a gzeira, we have the ability to take that shevet, to take that whip, and it was a whip of 6 million people, a whip of over 1 million children. And we have the ability to take that whip and to see in there a source of nechama, because Hashem is doing this. Why he does it? No clue. Will I ever understand how he does it, why he does it? Maybe. I'll tell you a little story about that too. But we have to be able, in the challenges of life, to recognize that everything is b'yad Hashem. And we have to internalize and believe be'emuno shleimo and feel it with every fiber of our being. Kol ma de'ovid rachmono le'tavovid. I know it sounds cruel to say, but it's true. Chazal tell us, it's Torah Shebal Peh, it's Torah Misinai, it's Emes Lamito Shel Torah, that everything that Hashem does, and we refer to Hashem in this nusach here of Rachmona, the Merciful One. Kol ma de'ovid Rachmona, everything that the Merciful One does, le'tavovid, he does it all for good. I don't get it. It can't be. It's impossible. It's not impossible. Chazal understood as much as we do. And they understood, not only was it not impossible, that that's the ultimate reality in life. Hard sometimes to swallow, difficult to understand, painful to realize, but that's the reality. You know, they tell a story of a Chassidish Rebbe that was in one of the camps during the Holocaust. And somebody came up to him, you know, I guess a person who had already been turned off to his Yiddishkeit because of all the suffering. And he says to him, why does Hashem allow such things to take place? And he says to him, I'll tell you the truth. I'm an old man. And I learned a long time ago, I don't ask Hashem why. Because I'm afraid if I ask him, he might say to me, you want to know why? I invite you upstairs and I'll be able to explain it to you. And the Rebbe concluded and said, I'm not quite ready to go. And the truth of the matter is, it's trite almost to tell you, I'm sure you've heard it, but they say that life is something like a beautiful tapestry. There's a tapestry in heaven that began maybe before creation and continues on for eternity. And one upstairs might be able to see all of the cheshbonos and all of the interactions and all of the causes and effects and everything that goes on. Maybe we'd understand it. Maybe even there we won't. Don't know. But down here it looks like just a bunch of disheveled threads. It's the other side of the needle point. It's the ugly side of the needle point. It's the discolored and disheveled pieces that are hanging down here. And to us, it looks like one big mess, one big stupidity. But in reality, up there, from the view that the Rebbe didn't want to go see yet, we can sense, we can understand, we can maybe begin to realize that this is the reality. So we always have to be able to be machazik ourselves that way. And we always have to know that there is an eternity and that Hashem has cheshbonos with us in this world that go on forever. Forever. And everything that happens here is just the prelude. It's just what Chazal called the proizdor. It's the hallway that leads to this eternity. And it's true that for young people, and I'll continue to say this to Machanchim, that for young people they have to see the benefits in the here and now, and don't just tell them v'glicklich itzayin in olam habo. Mitzad shem, to survive this world, to survive this world in sanity, not insanity, with sanity, we need to recognize that it's a continuum that goes on forever. I want to share with you a personal story, which to me was a source of great pain, but a source of great chizuk. Many years ago, which was actually many, many years ago, when we had developed a yeshiva high school boys division, girls division in Los Angeles, in the San Fernando Valley, we had a Malava Malka like 2 weeks before the end of the year, I guess just around this time, for the girls, the girls' school. And I asked one of the teachers to tell a story to entertain the girls. And this rabbi told the following story. There was an elderly couple who were childless for many, many years. And they went to the Rebbe, this Chassidish Rebbe, and they asked for a brocha. They got a brocha from the Rebbe, and they had a child. They had a boy. This boy was wonderful, wonderful son. He lived for 5 years and he passed away. Of course, this couple was very distraught. But more than that, she was already too old to have any more children. And they went back to the Rebbe almost with tightness, like, Hayitochen. Hashem finally gives us this beautiful child, and after 5 years, he takes him away from us. And the Rebbe told them, how the Rebbe knew this, I don't know, but the Rebbe told them as follows. He says, this child of yours had an neshama for a giant of a tzaddik that lived maybe, who knows, hundreds of years ago. He lived a life of absolute purity, absolute kimat human perfection. But he was a ger tzedek that at 5 years old, he ran away from the palace. He was a prince, a son of a king, lived in a palace with his Jewish teacher. They brought him in a Jewish teacher to teach him, and he was enamored with this Jew, and he ran away with him to become a ger tzedek. And he lived a life of the greatest piety. Comes up to the Olam HaEmes, and they say to him, you know, you mamish, you did it, you're the most amazing, but you have 5 years that was shaloi b'kedusha, you weren't living properly, you were eating the wrong foods, you were doing the wrong things. A kid, 5 years old, says, your neshama has to go back to this world in a gilgul, in another body, to relive those 5 years, to be mashlim you to the ultimate level of tzidkis, and then your neshama will return. That neshama was the neshama in your child. You had the privilege of carrying this child and bringing him to the world and guaranteeing that giant from previous generations, through your efforts in bringing up your child and bringing him up properly, has now assured this tzaddik of the greatest connection, the greatest place in Gan Eden. When this rabbi finished talking, I must tell you, I was fuming. I don't know what I wanted to do to this guy. I asked you to entertain a group of girls at a Malava Malka. If you had a Malava Malka and your speaker came and told you this story, as important as it may be, but come on, you know, that's I don't know. I don't even have the right words for it. 2 weeks later, I was on the plane with my wife to bury my 5.5-year-old son who had died 2 weeks later in Los Angeles. Sitting on the plane, and I turned to my wife all of a sudden. I say, he was talking to us. And I tell you, I had such a nechoma. I tell you, I felt like, look, we had a privilege. Even the numbers were not too off, 5.5, 5, you know. Like, we had a privilege. We had a neshama from a previous generation, from a great person. I even used to tell my wife I know who it was, but she told me I'm crazy. But anyway, I say, and I still believe I know who it was. But anyway, so we had this privilege. He had to be here for a certain period of time to correct, so to speak, to be misaken that which was lacking in this giant of a previous life. We had that privilege. So we have to know that, yes, this was a tragedy, and it was. And tragedies hurt, and they continue to hurt. But when we have some sense of understanding that there's a broader picture, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who is upstairs, well, he's downstairs too, but who sees the total picture, who controls the total picture, who orchestrates the total picture, it gives us another sense of nechoma, a sense of consolation, a sense of strength that we have fulfilled a great, who knows great, who knows how great, who knows what giants of the previous generation we were dealing with. And we have nurtured them and helped them and fulfilled our purpose in doing so. And for that, in a sense, we really even have to be thankful. There's a very strange comment in the Pirush HaRambam on the Mishnah that says, Chayav Odom Levorech Al Horo, Kishem Shehu Mevorech Al HaToivo. There's an obligation to make the brocha that we make on bad tidings, Dayan HaEmes, to make it the same way that we make the brocha HaToivo HaMeitiv. And the Rambam's Loshen is, I told you I'm the oldest guy in the room here. Thought I could see it with those glasses. The Rambam's Loshen is as follows. Ma she'omar kishem shehu mevorech al ha'toivo. That which it says, the way that you make the brocha al ha'toivo, rotzo lo'imar, that means to say as follows. Lekabel oisoi besimcho velev toiv. To accept a gzar din, something that's worthy of saying Dayan HaEmes, to be accepted b'simcho v'lev toiv, we accept it with happiness, with a good heart, not that we're happy about it, but we accept it in happiness. This is what we have to accept. This is right now our mitzvah. This is what we're obligated to do, because Hashem doesn't want us to be mourning forever, and we're accepting this b'simcho v'lev, v'lichbo ish kaso, and to control our anger. Yes, sometimes we are angry. We feel angry and might be justified, but we have to control it. V'yetiv nafshoi, and just make his nefesh feel good. K'sheyevorech dayan ho'emes, when he makes the brocha dayan ho'emes, k'shem sheyase b'shor sheyevorech ha'toiv ha'meitiv. Just as he does when he says the brocha ha'toiv ha'meitiv. U'kemoy sho'yumim, then he says a very interesting reason. U'obu chachomim, b'roiv divrehim, they said it in many places, Kol ma de Ovid min Shemayo letav. Everything that happens from heaven, and everything happens from heaven, is for good. V'ze dover sichli etzel balei seichel. This is very logical. Etzel balei seichel, of course. Hashem created the world to do chesed. That's the whole purpose of creation. He's not going to do anything other than the ultimate chesed. Although, sometimes it's hidden, and sometimes it's mind-boggling, and sometimes it baffles us to understand where's the chesed. But everything Hashem does is for chesed. He created the world only for that purpose. V'afilu loy hoira hakosav olav. He says, even if we weren't told this by Chazal or by Psukim, lefi sheyesh dvorim rabim nirim b'tchiloson toivim, v'ya achresem ro rabba. He says, it's posh to seichel. There are things that seem to be so wonderful, and they turn out to be terrible. Wow, the greatest thing in the world happened. Baruch atoy v'ameitiv. The worst thing that ever could happen. He says, "V'al kein ein roi lemaskil lihishtoimim kishatova olav ro gedoyla." Therefore, we shouldn't become overwhelmed when a terrible tragedy happens. B'pnei she'eino yodeya seifo. We do not know what the end is. We really only have a very minuscule, a very small snapshot of what's going on, and we have no way of understanding the broader picture. And just as when evil things happen, sometimes, or when good things happen, sometimes it could turn out to be something that we regret, so too when terrible things happen, we have to realize that Hashem has it all for good, even though it may be beyond what we ourselves are able to comprehend. I want to share with you another story. This is a story that's become very popular. I heard it actually. We did a seminar just 2 weeks ago for non-religious people, and he spoke there, this Yossi Vallis. He has this book, incredible. Some of you may have read it. He tells the story of his grandfather. His grandfather was in a concentration camp, and it was mere hours before the Allies were coming to liberate the camp. The Nazis had to get their last. And they gathered those Nebuch, few remaining Jews who were still alive in the camp. And they gathered them together in a circle. And they called his grandfather. They used to call him the rabbi there because he was a Malamed, but he was a very pious man. He never ate. They knew that he never ate meat all his years in the camp. And they told him as follows. It's a few hours before liberation. If you eat this chazer that they had for him there, he says, you will live to be liberated tomorrow morning. And if you don't, we will shoot you. He refused. It was Kiddush Hashem, B'shas Hashmad, and they shot him dead. That was the story, a tragedy. Kiddush Hashem, certainly we can even see in this tragedy something great. This man is assured of the ultimate tzchar that there is in this world to die al Kiddush Hashem. The only thing, by the way, that may compete with that is to live al Kiddush Hashem, but that's besides the point. So, anyway, he had grandchildren, and his children became not religious after that. His grandchildren living in Israel, not religious at all, nothing, zero. He was running a business in Tel Aviv, this Yossi Vallis. His wife calls him up, he lived in Ranana, and his wife calls him up and says, Yossi, I couldn't cook tonight. Can you please stop off and get some takeout? It seems in those days there was only one takeout place that sold basar lavan. That means pork, you know, chazer. And he stopped off at that place to buy. It made no difference to him. Why did he care? Couldn't care less. It's a hot summer day, and he's standing online, and they're getting a little anxious. The line is long, you know. And he starts to reminisce about his grandfather. His grandfather gave his life not to eat this chazer. And he's standing here online waiting to buy it for his family. And he says to himself, somebody is crazy. Either my grandfather is crazy or I'm crazy. One of us must be crazy. He gave his life not to eat this. And I'm standing on here online in a hot summer day. They probably didn't have air conditioning in those stores those days. And I'm waiting to buy this same stuff that he gave his life for. And it bothered him, and he left the store, and he refused to purchase it. He went home, told his wife, sorry, I just couldn't do it. That night, a friend, the next door neighbor, comes to him and says, you know, tomorrow I have a speaker, some rabbi coming to speak in my house, and I really got to fill the seats, you know, if it's an empty living room, it won't look nice. I know you're not too interested in this stuff, but do me a favor. I said, okay, I'll do you a favor. And he sat there through the lecture, and he probably was only not even listening. He wasn't interested in the whole thing. You know, this religion was not only not of interest, there was a negativity to it. They were raised and they were taught that this is, you know, this is a relic of the past. Anyway, at the end, he goes up to the speaker and says, I want to know why my grandfather gave his life not to eat the chazer. And the speaker says to him, I can't tell you. He says, no, you must tell me. He was a very tough guy, this Yosef Baris. I must know. He says, you know, it just so happens we're having a seminar starting this weekend or tomorrow or the next day, whatever it was. And if you go to this seminar and you spend a week over there, it was a week long, 6 days, whatever it was, and he says, you'll get the answer to your question. Okay? He needed to know the answer. Either his grandfather was crazy or he's crazy. And he didn't want to believe that his grandfather is crazy. Didn't want to believe in anything else. But he didn't want to believe his grandfather is crazy. Goes to the seminar. He describes how he came to the seminar, had to get directions where to park. And there was some rabbinic-looking figure carrying a box. And he asked him for directions, so the guy first puts the box down on the car and he starts to give him directions. You know, you give directions with your hands. So he asks, what's in the box? He says, a keyport, yarmulkes. Oh, no, get it off my car. I'm kidding, get it off my car. I didn't want to see it. Didn't want to hear from it. This is ridiculous. This stuff should have been left in Europe. The kid said he stayed at the seminar. And by the end of the seminar, he left with the kippah on his head. His wife didn't know what to make of it. It's a whole story. They went to his parents' house, whatever it is. Today, he and his entire family are all Shomer Mitzvahs. Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, mamish, beautiful. But more than that, he became very shortly after, this was the first Arachim seminar, he became the head of Arachim very shortly after, the CEO. And through his efforts to date, there are probably over 150,000 people who are Balei Tshuva, who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. I calculate even more, but I'm giving the modest number. Yeah, over the last close to 40 years. All as a result of his grandfather's Mesiras Nefesh. We don't know sometimes how an action, something to us, seems so terrible, seems so tragic, because all we see is the hanging threads hanging down. But in reality, sometimes time, sometimes space, sometimes it doesn't even clarify until the next world. But we have to know that that's what happens. That everything Hashem has a cheshbon for everything. In fact, I must tell you, and I can't go into detail right now, and it's not even appropriate or necessary, but the yeshiva that we established in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley was formulated in its true strength that night before we left Eretz Yisrael to bury my son. It's that tragedy that galvanized the whole community. And today, this place that when we came to, there wasn't even a mikveh there. You had to go to the city for a mikveh. And today, it's a year of Ein B'Yisrael. So we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. For us, those of us that are here, very difficult. Truth be told, those that are there, they see the picture. You know, there's a famous, oy vey, gotta stop. There's a famous Chassidish story that, I don't know the details about these, that's not my area of expertise, but this famous story about a whole Chassidish community, they had a Rebbe, and every time they had a Tzora, that they went to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe should help them out of the Tzora, and the Rebbe was always there for them, and he was Mispalo, and you know, helped them with their Tzoras. One day the Rebbe passes on, and they were fit to be tied. Now what? Now what do we do? We don't have a Rebbe. The Rebbe used to help us with all the tzoras, personal tzoras, communal tzoras, everything. So, until one person had this brilliant idea, he says, if the Rebbe was able to help us here, in Himmel, in heaven, whoa, he can really help us. He's much closer, he has much more influence up there. He's right near the Kisei HaKovod. Oh, well, he'll be able to be poil. And then they started to go to the Rebbe's kever and to ask him, please, we need Yeshuas, and this, and they're begging. Nothing happens. They didn't get it. What's going on? He was so loyal, he was so dedicated, he was so devoted. They relied on him for everything in this world, and now, Golish, nothing, he ignores them. Again, I know, it's a story. So, Bekitzer, one of the people, the Rosh HaKol, or somebody had a dream. And the Rebbe appears to him in a dream. And the Rebbe says, I see the tzoras that you're going. And part of me really wishes that I could help you. But when I see what's going on up here, when I see the truth, When I see the purpose, when I see the true kol ma de'ovid rachmono le'tabovid, I can't even bring myself to ask that your situation should improve. Because I'm privy to insight and information that no one in this world could possibly know. And therefore, it's beyond me even to be able to help you. I think that when we're in the need of chizuk, we have to think very, very strongly and review, as the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, again and again and again and again, that kol ma de'ovid rachmono le'tavovid, that everything that Hashem does is for the good. There may not be anything wrong with trying to understand it, but all of our efforts should recognize that it's very likely beyond us. And knowing that it's likely beyond us, we have to find the strength and the firm belief, be'emunah shleimah, that everything Hashem does is for the good, whether or not we will here in this world or ever be able to understand it. And I'd just like to leave you with a thought that's way beyond this. Way beyond this. But just sometimes being aware of how much higher one can go, then gives us a certain sense of what we have to try to achieve. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Al Chesed U'Mishpot Oshira. And Chazal in the Gemara in Brocha say, David HaMelech says, Al Chesed Oshira, V'Al Mishpot Oshira. I say Hallel for Hashem's Chesed, and I say Hallel for Hashem's Mishpot. When Hashem punishes, Hallel, the same Hallel, Al Chesed, U'Mishpot Oshira. Al Chesed Oshira, Al Mishpot Oshira. What does that mean? What's that all about? In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, which is the Mishnah that we quoted, is brought, the Shulchan Aruch brings from there, the reason we say Dayan HaEmes, really? If we were on that level, we should also say HaTeva HaMeitiv, because everything is good. Chesed U'Mishpot Oshira. We're not on the level to feel it. It wouldn't be sincere. It would be fake. And therefore we should not do it, not pretend. And we can't say Boruch HaTeva HaMeitiv when something goes wrong. We have to say Dayan HaEmes. We know that your judgment is true. And we say it with the simcha, the realization that it's all chesed, despite the fact that we have difficulty comprehending it. And we have pain in accepting it. But that has to be. And the ultimate is that so much is the chesed. David HaMelech said, it makes no difference to me. If chesed or mishpot, it's all the same. Because it's all from Hashem. And there's one more thought that I just want to conclude with. It's a very strange targum. In the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Pasuk says, we say it in Hallel, Mo oshiv la Hashem, Kol tagmulohi oloi. They translated, how can I ever pay back to Hashem? And most of the Mefarshim learn, all of the benefits that I have are all His, all from Him. The Targum says a different pshat, a shocking pshat. He says, David HaMelech said, Mo oshiv la Hashem, what can I return to Hashem? How can I ever pay Him back? Kol tagmulohi, all the gmul that he has in his world, olai, he gave to me. Kol gamlin did be'olmo delay, hinun olai. Everything that he has to offer, his oitzus, his treasure chests of good, he gave it all to me. Now, obviously, he didn't give it all to David HaMelech. He saved some for us. And David HaMelech had his fair share of challenges and difficulties in his life. But it seems the pshat is that if we focus on the Chesed Hashem, we focus on the Chesed Hashem, look what Hashem has given us. Look at the brochos, look at the privileges, look at the opportunities that He's given us. A world full of opportunities to be Yerush eternity. Kol tag melohi, I can feel as if it's to me, it's as if He gave me everything. It's as if He doesn't have anything. He can't possibly have everything left in this world to give anyone else because I feel that He gave it all to me. That's how much we can appreciate Hashem's chesed. And the truth of the matter is, that when we return from Eretz Yisrael, after the Shiva, a relative of my wife came to visit us, and her words reverberate in my ears 40 some years later, more than anything else that I heard. And that was, she said, in this world, we have to look at what we had, not what we lost. We were privileged. Whatever we had, whatever we lost, it means we had. And if we fully appreciate the privilege, we can rise close to that level of kol tagmul lo hiyoloi. It's as if Hashem gave me everything. I was so privileged. I am so privileged. I have everything that's possible. And if we reach that level, it helps us to understand that Hashem is all about chesed. He created the world for chesed. Everything he does is chesed. And that can be a tremendous source of strength. Strength to cope with the difficulties that have occurred, and strength to face the world that faces us with so many unknowns and so many challenges. Hashem should help that all those whose hearts are heavy, and so many that have heavy hearts, should be relieved of that burden. And the memories of the good, the memories of the chesed, the appreciation for the chesed, should overturn the pain and the difficulty and the suffering. We should all be zeichet to share in simchas together.